cute. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, folks. Cleveland Browns won yesterday. They beat Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore, which they haven't done in like 16. One out of the last 15 times they've played them, they beat them. I'm not here to talk about football because most of you don't even care. That doesn't really matter. I'm here to tell you this. Cleveland won yesterday because they had a game plan. You'd watch them the first couple weeks. You didn't know what the heck it was they were trying to do. If you remember, I told you last week after the Browns' last play of the game didn't score from the 4-yard line, I said, there's no rhyme or reason to what they're doing. They don't have a game plan. And, you know, they're trying hard and doing everything, but when they got down there, it's fourth and goal. They had no play. Prescripted, ready to run. They had no idea what play to do. They won yesterday against the Ravens, pretty good team, in Baltimore. Was that a game plan? So what are you talking about, Coach? I'm talking about us. We got no game plan. What I want to discuss with you today, we don't have a game plan. We have meetings. We go to meetings. Church. We come on CoachDaveLive.com and we all solve all the world's problems. We don't have a game plan. But I want to talk to you about today. I feel pretty good today, actually. May seem a little bit grouchy. 30th day of September. Where did September go? I say that a lot. Had a really, really busy weekend, great weekend in Erie, Pennsylvania. John Diamond put on a great, great conference up there. I guess my frustration level begins to go higher and higher. In fact, I see John's joining us in here today. Higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. We had in that room, we had William J. Federer, Bill Federer. 45 minutes. If you've never heard Bill Federer, he'll make you feel so stupid because he knows history. And some wise man said to me, those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. And Bill reminded us of our history in only 45 minutes. He had about a 4-hour presentation, I think. And John Diamond opened it up, did a great job on the kingdom of God. In fact, don't forget to send me that PowerPoint, John, because I want to talk about it. In fact, maybe you can come on and present it. We can talk about it. It's fabulous. Rusty Thomas spoke. Matt Tuella spoke. Coach Dave spoke. Pastor Mike Spaulding hosted the whole thing. Bradley Dean spoke. She spoke. Unbelievable presentation by, give me his name. He would remember my name. And I, Dan Fisher, there it is. I saw his face, couldn't get a Dan Fisher. I don't know if I'm forgetting anybody else. It's fabulous. It's just absolutely, unbelievably fabulous. You know, it should have been 5,000 people in the room, maybe 10. Should have been more people. There's 45,000 people over here at this concert. It's ending today. They played music all night long. 45,000 people. And I said to somebody, we are really, really screwed. We're really screwed. Because there's 45,000 people come and spend $400 a ticket and $800 to sleep in a tent to do headbanging all night long. 45,000 of them come from all over the world. And John Diamond gathers together this unbelievable list of speakers. Just like any one of them could have been the only speaker. And I looked across the room. My wife counted at one time. I think there were 38. I think there were 38. And that includes speakers and speakers' families. And John, I'm not making fun of what you did because it was a Herculean effort and it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event. But we ain't got no game plan. That was the focus of what I was the last guy to speak. John kind of teed me up to be the last guy to speak. And just bear with me here a second, folks, if you will. Bear with me. because it really, I didn't know whether I wanted to say it or not. The things that I spoke about, I didn't know if I really wanted to, but I figured, you know, I had to. And I said the very same thing. The problem we have in Christianity. See, listen, folks, activists, whatever you would call us, activists, activism, those of us, I'll mention names, Matt Truella, Missionaries of the Preborn, Rusty Thomas, Operation Save America, God bless, Bradley Dean, Sons of Liberty, John Diamond, I'm sorry, the name. Anyway, these guys are a team. They are the A team. And nobody in America better than Rusty Thomas on talking about abortion, the abortion issue. Did a wonderful, wonderful job to the 35 or so people who took some time out away from Penn State football to come watch it. Matt Tuella did a wonderful job on the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate, the history behind it, and why we have to rise up. Just a marvelous job. And Bill Federer kicked it off, as I said. John Diamond kicked it off talking about the kingdom of God. Send me that PowerPoint, John, or let's say maybe we'll get you to talk about it. Bill Federer on the people are the king. We don't have a king in America. The people are the king. And just absolutely unbelievable. But can I be honest with you? We don't play ball together. We don't play ball together. I'll bet you this. Most of Matt Tuella's team, whatever they would be, whoever's on his team, they don't know anything about us. And most of the people on Rusty's team, they know me, but they don't know. Rusty, I'm not poking Rusty in the chest when he's not around. I had a talk with Rusty. Rusty's people don't have any idea what we do. And I said to Rusty, I got a whole bunch of guys that love to play on your team. Why don't you include us? Why won't you include us? Well, see, here's what happens. We've got to be very, very careful. Denominationalism creeps into activism as well. You heard what I said. Denominationalism creeps in. If you're not a pure pro-lifer, if you're not a pure 100% abolitionist, you're not welcome to play with some of the people on Rusty's team. I told Rusty this. I'm not talking behind his back. If you're not a pure, what do they call that? Lesser magistrate, interposition guy. You're not a clear guy. There's people on Matt's team won't play with you. They won't play. There are guys on Rusty Thomas's team at Operation Save America won't play with me because they don't think I'm an abolitionist. So they won't play with me. And I said, I'm out here. I'm raising up these huddles. I got men coming from all over America, and you guys don't even tell me where your game's being played. I don't have to come. I don't care whether I come to the game, but I got some other guys I could put in the game for you. Can you guys out there listening to me right now, can you have any idea the number of people that we could assimilate if we played together? Rusty's team, they don't even know what we're doing here. We don't even know what Rusty's team's doing. Everybody got their own little team playing in their own little game. And I asked the question, Rusty, why don't we all get together on one page here? And Rusty, you're the abortion expert, and we all support you whenever there's an abortion issue. And Matt, you are the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, the interposition, the states' rights issue. You are it, Matt. And whenever you have an issue, you put the call out, and we all come and fight with you. And Bradley Dean, you're the guy that's involved in the schools. And when you got something going on at the schools, you give us a call, and we'll all come and fight with you. Right? Why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? We don't. It's denominational activism. And if you don't totally line up with their doctrine, you are not invited to play. Can somebody say amen for me out there? No, folks, I'm waiting for an amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yep. See, I love Rusty, and I'm not talking behind Rusty's back. Rusty's, the Operation Save America has become an abolitionist group, and a lot of people, I used to be right in the center of Operation Save America. I used to work shoulder to shoulder with them. But a new group of people have come in, and they are abolitionists, and they say I'm a pro-lifer and I'm a fraud, so I'm not allowed to play with them anymore. Really? So if Rusty has an event where he wants to get 1,000 people together, I'm not allowed to come? Or here's a better question. Why would I go? Why would I go where I'm not wanted? Now, I'm talking about Rusty. Rusty and I are cool. It's the players on Rusty's team. They don't want to play with us. Is it any different than church? pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no trib? Is it any different in church? Speaking in tongues, not speaking in tongues, laying on the hands, not laying on the hands. Is it any different? And you look at what's going on in the secular world and the devil's team. Do they play together? On the devil's team, what do they call those guys? Do the climate change folks play with the pro-abortion folks? Well, sure they do. Do the pro-abortion folks and the climate change folks, do they play with the homos? Pardon my pun. Well, of course they do. Of course they do. Do we? No. We don't do that. Why? Because we're theologically and we're pure. We're pure. And sadly, we don't even understand. I'm telling you, we still have Christians. How do I say this? We still have Christians who will not support Donald Trump. It's absolutely unbelievable to me. Not that I love him. Not that he's the new Pope. But he's leading the charge for our side. He is making it possible for our team to stand up and fight. He went to the UN and called out the deep state. He said, we're not going to get into this globalism crap. We're patriots. We're going to fight for our own country. And Christians they're Christians that won't support the guy, right? Again, I'm not here pounding President Trump on the back. Can't you see the war? Can't you see the war? And we're going to all have to pick a fight. We're going to all have to pick a team, and we're all going to have to go all in this fight. We got to go all in. Rusty Thomas cannot win without you guys, without our team. He cannot win without our team, and we can't win without his team. We can't win without Matt Twella's team, and Matt Twella can't win without Bradley Dean's team. But we won't even share email lists. Okay, I got that off my chest. John, come on in here real quick. I know you're in here, John. I've got to respect John Diamond. Can I tell you something about John Diamond?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about John Diamond. He works a full-time job. Not only does he work a full-time job, he works it at night while the rest of us are sleeping. He's working a full-time job. He's pastoring a flock. He's writing books. And he's producing movies. He's doing everything he can to try to awaken Christians to what's going on in America, and 35 people come. Hey, John, I wasn't disappointed because there were 35 fighters that were in that room. What's going on from your perspective? Come on in here, man.
Hey, morning, Coach. Yeah, I sent you that PDF that you asked for. I think that's going to be the message that we're going to have to kind of rally around. I mean, that's the big picture, and then everything else is kind of a subset of that. But my intention from the very beginning of this conference, let me just share this with you. Back in 1957, Martin Luther King called 60 Baptist ministers to a church in Atlanta to start what we now know as the Civil Rights Movement. And the Lord laid that on my heart. My original intention was just to call all of you to this area and really not even have a conference. I was going to call you and Matt and Rusty and Mike and all the rest of them. And really just have a meeting, kind of like me, you, and Garrett Lear, and Chaps Klingenschmidt, kind of like we did in Boston there about 15 years ago, where we all came together and just met in that meeting room. That was my original intention, but then the Lord was like, well, just turn it into a conference. Well, the great thing about turning it into a conference was I was able to get enough sponsors and enough attendees to really cover almost everybody's cost. We're running a little short, but that's not a big deal. But we really killed several birds with one stone. So I was really encouraged. Nothing like that's happened in this area before. I've got a whole bunch of people, both of speakers and attendees, that are very interested in taking this across the nation. So I think it served its purpose, to be honest with you. If you look at Gideon. You remember Gideon? Gideon had 33,000. They said the cowards go home, and the cowards left, and he was left with 11,000. And then he was left with 300. So, I mean, I think what we've got here is the 300. And that's why I don't specifically focus on numbers myself, because I really don't care. I realize the cowards are probably going to do more to hold us back than anything else. Let them go home. I'm not interested.
John, I'm not focusing on numbers either. I get all that thing. I get all that, right? But my. Every one of those guys ought to be in every pulpit in America. And it's one of the things that I called out at the end. I said, American Family Association's here. They had a representative there, right, John? American Family Association did, and Family Research Council did. Do you think they play together? Does anybody think the Family Research and the American Family Association plays together? Promise you they don't. I promise you they don't. They don't share mailing lists. I promise you they don't. They don't. They don't. Well, the American Family Association or Family Research Council, will they give a platform to Matt Tuella to talk about the doctrine of lesser magistrates? No way. No. Will they let Rusty Thomas get up there and talk about why Roe versus Wade is not the law of the land and how we've been? Are they going to let them do that? No, they're not going to do that. See, they're not going to do it. So it's not about numbers; it's about impact. And so I wasn't there counting heads either, John. That didn't matter to me. But I'm just sitting around and wondering how 44,000 people can be at my house watching a headbanging show, and we can't get 100 Christians in Erie, Pennsylvania to hear this bevy of great speakers. So it wasn't criticism meant in any way, shape, or form, because I know you worked your butt off on it. You had a good team, and it was a great event. But brother, if we don't wake up and start playing together, man, I don't know what's going on. I just don't get it.
I agree completely. I mean, my entire church was voted for free. You know, looking at 300 people, and there might have been, 10, and most of those were in my Sunday school class. So I mean, this problem, this Laodicean, church is across the nation, and it's probably going to take a major smack in the backside for us to wake up. You know, I mean, there's very few that are just, the three percenters, as we talked about at the conference. So, I mean, we need to go out and preach.
Let me move beyond it, John, because I don't want to make this whole thing about the conference. You did a great job, and it was really, really good. And I guess a question that I want to throw out on the table for everybody is somebody help me out here without blaming the pastors. Okay. Because I want to win. I want to have a game plan. When we play next game, I want to have an effective team. I don't want to just go out there and play. What are we missing, folks? What are we missing? Why are we not reaching? Folks, most of you don't even reach your friends. You don't even reach your friends. I would bet you right now, if we could have I'm going to pick a name up there. I'm going to pick out Bobby Lee. Just because I see you there, Bobby Lee. If Bobby Lee would have Bill Federer come to his house, and he put out word that Bill Federer, this great historian, is going to come and speak at his house. Bobby, how many do you think you could round up, Bobby? How many could he round up if you did it at your house?
I'm trying to get in here. I was fighting with my phone there for a second. Yeah, how many could I round up? I couldn't get 10. Let me change that. Let me rephrase that. Prior to this weekend, I couldn't get 10. But I don't know if you got my voicemail or email. I made contact with the Tea Party out here, and I made contact with Berks County Patriots. And they got us added onto the Tea Party. Lehigh Valley Tea Party has us added onto their event calendar for what's going on out here in Hamburg. So what I kind of learned is our friends are not the righteous church people. Our friends are the people that have the belief in God. They know who Christ is, but they've deviated over to the other side. These are the aggressive fighters, the people that will have the images of the Revolutionary Warriors fighting or the Civil War characters fighting, and not so self-righteous that they will marginalize whoever because of doctrine or because of X behavior. They're flawed, but they're heavy patriots in the community.
Those are
the people, just like the example you've used in the past of in the movie The Patriot, going out in the woods and finding the bar in the woods and finding the men that are willing to go to war at the drop of a hat. Those are our people, not the cowardice Christian Christians hiding behind church walls.
I was watching this morning, Bobby. It doesn't matter who. I was watching a church that had a conference this weekend, and they sent out this video. Oh, my goodness, look at the power of God here. Look at the power of God. And what was it? It was a, I'm not making this up, the dance routine. It was a dance routine. A dance routine inside the church. They'd all practiced together on this prophetic dance routine. And then they shared it. Powerful, powerful. I'm telling you. Yeah, good. Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you asked a minute ago, what are we missing? I think there's a two-part answer to that. One, a biblical answer, and that is we're missing biblical logic. For example, Jesus, it's recorded in Matthew 12:30. Jesus says, "He that is not with me is against me." And then Mark reported basically the same situation and the same conversation, but he reported it as, "For he that is not against us is on our part." So those two appear to contradict with each other. But when you look at them with logic, each of them says there's two sides, against me and for me. There's two sides. Now, when you look at those verses logically, you take and then the next part of the answer is we're missing the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Everybody is out there working their own plan, their own ideas, their own self-devised convictions instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide their spiritual walk and their spiritual thinking.
Yep, and unfortunately, what's the word I'm looking for? Cultural purity has crept into. If you're not 100% with them, you're not with them. I get you, Larry. I get you, man. I want to say this to pro-life people. I want to say this to the abolitionists. I'm not your enemy. If you think I'm your enemy, it's no wonder we're losing. You think Mark Harrington's your enemy? No wonder we're losing. We need everybody. All hands on deck. We need everybody in this fight. Okay, let me. I don't want to get bogged down. Hey, Chad, how things go? Chad up this morning? Sometimes he sleeps in on the morning after a big event. How'd your event go out there, Chad? Or if Chad can't tell me, somebody who was there tell me. Yeah, he's not in here this morning. Maybe I'll catch up with him tomorrow. He had an event. He had a huddle at his house this weekend, and it always goes good.
Coach, I was there.
How was it, man?
It was really, really, really good. I think everyone left there with revived. I would say we saw revival, Coach. I think we all left there, and we can run on this life that we put out to each other. I think we can run on it and be salt and light for at least 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Elijah, you know, when the ravens fed him and they gave him the real manna from God, he ran on that for, I don't know, what, 6 months or so. I don't know that he even ate.
Right.
That's what happens when we put life into each other. And you look at people, we got in a big circle and you look across there. And if we were fighting for our lives, you look at them and you look them in the eye and you say, just let's get to tomorrow. Let's fight and live to tomorrow. And let's do this again. And you do it again and you do it again. And that's when things hit the fan, Coach. That may be what it's going to look like.
Randy, that's one of the things I'm trying to get people to understand. This ain't tiddlywinks. This is not tiddlywinks. My friends, I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me from the depth of my being, the depth of who I am. Things are going to get bad. Things are going to get bad. And all you have to do is watch how look at politics, because I'm sorry if I keep grabbing my cord. It's bothering me here. Let me get that thing. Look at the political world as a thermostat, if you will, for what's going on in America. Those people, there's an element. We know this, right? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine the things, some vain thing? The kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. The conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, as Donald Trump has said many, many times, they don't hate me, they hate you. Speaking about us, they hate the Christ that is within us. Folks, it is a deep, deep hatred that they can't even explain it. They hate Christ. We do know this, don't we? That Jesus Christ was crucified, folks, by those who should have been on his team. They are the ones who crucified him. Barabbas or Jesus, give us Barabbas. Who's Pilate talking to? He's talking to the followers of Jesus. They are the ones who crucified Jesus. They did it. Now, I want you to know right now that there are many out there who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And the Bible says from such men turn away. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you can't understand and if you can't see the powder keg, if you can't understand and see the blatant lying and cheating and disregard for the truth that's going on within our government, if you can't see that and understand that that is an enemy of the cross, I don't know what to tell you. And if you think those folks are going to go quietly into this good night, you are a fool. You are a fool. Do you understand that right now they have just redone the whole Russian investigation? They just put Ukraine on it. They just changed the name. It's the exact same thing still going on. These people will not quit. And what they're trying to do now, don't ever forget this. President Trump said, they don't hate me, they hate you. They hate our values. They hate everything we stand for. And if you want to, you could probably go to the scripture and find out that that's probably pretty much biblical. Now, we have a decision that we're going to make. Are we going to sit around and wait for the rapture bus? Or are we going to get actively involved and engaged in this battle? Because come November 4th, I think it is, 2019, the next election. No, 2020, the next election. That other side's going to go nuts. If they win, they're going to start locking some of us up. Oh, yes, they are. You can laugh it off if you want to. You laugh it off all you want to. They're going to get even, man. They are going to be so vengeful. They are going to be like we have. That spirit is going to be like something that we have never seen. And if they lose, oh my goodness, the desperation that's going to come upon them. You know what they know right now, folks? They know Ruth Bader Ginsburg ain't going to make it 5 more years. They know. If she's even alive now, they know in no way she's going to make it 5 more years. Oh, my goodness. And so I'm trying to awaken all of you out there to understand that where you live, you better get up, you better open your mouth, and you better start stirring the pot. Because when you realize how bad things are, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late for you to stir that pot, boys and girls. It's going to be too late. So we better figure out, number one, why is there no urgency in this battle? Why is there no urgency? I think when Bill Federer was talking the other day and going down through our founding fathers and everything, can you imagine in 1780 homosex in our public schools? Can anybody even imagine that? Can you imagine? They put you in stocks for lying. They put your hand in your head and people came by and threw tomatoes at you for lying. Spiritual war. How do I say this? There's a deep, deep spiritual war going on around us, and most of us have no idea. We have no idea. So now is our time of preparation. Even more, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. That's why I said, Rusty, you got to work with us. Matt, you got to work with us. Bradley, I'm willing to work with you. I can give you players. I got all kinds of guys. We got to work together. We have to assemble ourselves together. Does anybody see that day approaching? Does anybody see that day approaching? Hebrews 10:24. Come on, Connor, get it up there real quick. Hebrews 10:24. Robert, get ready to read. This wasn't where I was going to go today, but I'm going there. Okay. Oh, I'll get two things ready here. I'm going to do something about this cord. I feel like Bradley with that long hair flipping my hair. Hebrews 10:24. It's up on the screen now. It's good. You ought to read all of Hebrews 10, but I want you to not miss this. Beginning in verse 24. Now, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. If there are no good works, you ain't saved. Sorry, If there are no good works, and I'm not talking about visiting the nursing home. If there are no good works, you ain't saved. All right? Just telling you that right now. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some of you are doing it. The writer of Hebrews said it. Some of you are. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can't you see the day approaching? Are you, those of you watching this show, are you actively involved in provoking one another to love and to good works? And are you assembling yourselves together and exhorting one another even more as we see that day approaching? The answer is no, we are not. We're not, folks. We're not. I see the day approaching. Now, what day? Well, I don't know. But I think it's that day where we need to be assembled. And Rusty doing his thing, and Matt Twella doing his thing, and me doing my thing, and nobody communicating with you, then hell, you ain't going to win. How do you walk into a huddle and run a play if nobody knows the play? How do you do that? How do you walk into a huddle and run a play if you don't even know the guy who's standing beside you? How do you do that? How do you get together and run a play if you just identify as your team? Have you ever heard of an all-star team? You know what I've coached a few all-star teams. You know what all-star teams are? They were guys who played on different teams. So we brought them in together and they had an all-star game because everybody wanted to see the all-stars play. Well, our all-star team doesn't play together. We never have an all-star team. My rant's over. Somebody want to come in, jump on top of that?
Coach, I'll continue the question. Are you assembling yourselves? Question mark is, or are you disassembling? So we got people taking a step further, and they're disassembling for whatever reason. Are you assembling, or are you actually disassembling?
And if you're disassembling, what is it that you're disassembling over? My heart grieves with some guys who used to be part of. Who are they assembled with? Who are you assembled with? Huh? Who are you assembled with?
I'll say this, Coach. I'll show you the picture of how the assembly is right now. You've got the foot stuck up on the head. You've got the arm stuck up on the head. You've got every piece of body stuck on the head because they want to be the head and they don't want to follow. They don't want to serve. They don't want to sweep the floor. They want to be the big boy and get all the praise. And that's what you have. You have a bunch of spoiled people that can't work. They want to eat, but they don't want to work.
Well, Randy, I think it's part of – I agree with you, but I think part of this is the issue. It's what we talked about on Friday's show, by the way, which I'm going to dive into, probably not today. Everybody thinks they're right. Everyone thinks their issue
that's my point.
Is
yes.
The most important. It's not done out of a evil heart or out of a selfish heart. They really believe if everybody would just get behind this cause, then everything will be good. And can I tell you the truth? They don't get behind other causes. They only get behind their cause. Well, that's like putting together a football team, and boy, your punt team's good. Man, you got the best punt. Look at the statistics. You guys have the best ratio of yards gained after a punt of any team in America. And so you always spend all your time punting because that's what you do. You're good at punting. Well, we don't need punting. We need passing. Well, we don't pass. We punt. Let us know when you want to punt. When you want to punt, you give us a call. We'll run out. We're good at punting. We'll come and punt. Well, we don't need them. We need guys who can pass the ball and run it. Oh, we don't do that. No, we punt. We're punters. That's our problem. And the affiliation, bringing together, if I had all of Rusty's team and Matt's team and Bradley's team and Bill Federer's team, wow, we win. We outnumber them so badly. I'll get off of this. I hope this doesn't sound like I'm griping and moaning and complaining, because I'm really not. I'm just trying to analyze. Why we're not winning. Why we're not. Robert, come in here. It's September 30th. Christians are new creatures. Robert Klaus. Robert King. Hey. God bless John Brockoff. God bless O.J. Eastwood. O.J.'s probably not even home yet. He drove all the way to Erie, Pennsylvania, brought John with him. O.J., John, God bless you guys. They never asked for anything. They never asked to say anything. They never asked to be in the spotlight. Just, where can I go, Coach? How can I serve? What do you need me to do? God bless guys like that. Robert Klaus came all the way up there, sat there with his table, sold books, probably didn't sell a book. People didn't come to buy books. Well, I appreciate your faithfulness, Robert. September 30th. Come on in, okay. Rob.
Okay, Coach. You know, I was just thinking.
Am I wrong on what you were there, Robert? Am I wrong on what I'm saying?
No, you're not wrong. You're right. You're right what you're saying. It seems like in the church we have we should have overcomers, but we have too many undertakers in the church, leading the church. Too many undertakers. And you know what the mantra of churchianity is? The mantra is, come as you are, sing just as I am, not leave and go as you were. There's no expectation of doing anything, just sitting on the pew. Okay, the devotion, here's a quote by Al Quidenhill. He says, we end up blaming God's sovereignty.
Robert, let me stop you a second. Folks, okay. Listen. When you do this devotion, you know what? You just can't read by the scriptures. Robert's got all kinds of scriptures here. When you read the devotion, why don't you have your Bible right beside you and read the scripture? Huh? Wouldn't that make sense? Don't just say, oh, Luke 1:4. Oh, that's good. That's Luke 1:4. Good. What's Luke 1:4? I don't know. I'll read it later. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, that's a good point, Coach. In this particular day, there's over 40 passages that support this small devotion. So I would encourage people to read the verses. This quote says, we end up blaming God's sovereignty for the sad state of the church. If there is no revival in the church, we can be very sure that the lack is on our part, not on God.
Amen on that one.
Now,
you're not taking a nap.
Well, here we are. It says, Christians are new creatures. That's the title of the devotion. Christians are new creatures. And I quote some verses. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, what are a few of the new things that have come? Well, the born-again Christian possesses the indwelling Holy Spirit, who gives power over sin. Also, Jesus' victorious death grants authority over defeated demons, principalities, and powers. Being a new creature includes having a renewed mind that can truly and intimately know God, replacing the former depraved mind that was hostile to God and unable to understand the things of God. The Christian is now led aright by the Holy Spirit of the living God, rather than being led astray by the evil spirits to mute idols. The believer has a new will that can obey the Holy One and no longer is enslaved to the evil one, and no longer dead in sin and enslaved to sin, but alive in Christ and enslaved to him.
Robert, this is so good. This is so good, man. I wonder how many, as he's reading this, have you ever thought about this? The things that come with, the things that come when becoming a new creature. Keep going, Robert.
I know. The child of God has been made complete in Christ, even though one may feel inadequate in himself. Though the Christian may feel completely alone, he alone has been made complete in Christ.
Hmm.
Christians are empowered to live for the Lord who died for them, since they have died to self and have been raised up with him. They have new passions that can enjoy and worship God rather than being alienated from God and enemies to him.
Wow.
They can walk in newness of life rather than wallow in old habits. They lay aside the old self and put on a new man. They enjoy it being adopted by the Father of light, no longer abused by the Father of lies.
Amen.
They are discipled by the grace of God rather than disgraced by undiscipline.
Mm.
Walking as a new creature in progressive sanctification is the wisest choice believers make, because God has done so much in providing for them a salvation that is so great. They work out their salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that God is at work in them, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And lastly, they love God by keeping his commandments, because he first loved them by sending his son.
Man, there are, so benefit, what's it say? Membership has its benefits, huh, Robert?
That's true. It sure does. A lot of benefit.
Are you walking this out in your life? Why not? Why are we not? As Robert said, maybe we need to take a look at us and not God. Maybe we need to point the finger at us rather than at God. Hey, Connor, I sent an email to you. It says, let me see what it says here. It says Mission America. Scratch my ear. I'm having trouble with my earpiece here this morning.
Hey, Coach.
Cooperating.
While we're waiting on Connor,
if I talk all the time, I don't need to use one, do I? Is it on the screen there, Connor? Linda Harvey. I don't know if you guys know Linda Harvey. Mission America. She's here in Columbus, Ohio. I wonder why we don't partner with Linda Harvey. I'm talking to me. Why don't I partner more with Linda Harvey? Does Linda Harvey know we have a team? Does Linda Harvey know that people can turn out and show up and make a difference? We have some people to do that? I bet she doesn't know that. So Linda Harvey sent me this, not me. She sent this email. Email. And this is what it says. This is action stuff that you can do on your screen. Are you sick of children being subjected to incessant, inaccurate, and dangerous messages, enlisting the support of, support for, or worse, their involvement in a homosexual agenda? Are you sick of that, folks? Many schools allow or even celebrate their discriminatory, unhealthy message on certain days and weeks during the academic year. Your child, if it's in a public school, will usually have no choice except to endure rainbow posters, library displays, cafeteria tables, special speakers and assemblies, classroom lessons, and school announcements promoting the following events. Here's a list below. Linda Harvey has put together a list of things that are coming to a school near you. All right? Hang on a minute. What can you do if that's going on in your school? Well, first of all, you're probably not going to know it, right? Well, first of all, why don't you do this? Why don't you remove your children, teach them at home? That'd be good. Be a good start. Or two, become thoroughly acquainted with the message surrounding school-sponsored deception and equip your children with the facts instead of here for some ideas. Demand equal time for pro-family, morally sensible messages. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we going to the school board and having Bible Day? Why aren't we going to the school board and demanding traditional marriage day? Why aren't we doing these things? Write a letter to the school to be included in your child's file, prohibiting the school from subjecting your child to pro-homosexual, pro-transgender teaching. Write them a letter and say, if you teach my children about anal sex, I'm suing your ass. Pardon me. Corruption. Propaganda counter. Here it is. All right? Here's the list Linda Harvey put together. September 22nd through the 28th is Banned Books Week. During this week, many school libraries put displays featuring books that have been challenged in communities, often with good reason. Let's go on down. Ally Week. Let's go on down here. Ally Week, September 27th. Those are allies of the homosexual agenda. You're not a homo, but you're going to be. They're going to have a week to celebrate those who are allies to homos. Okay, good. Did you know that September 23rd is Bisexual Awareness Day? Did you know that? Going on in your school? Did you know there's LGBTQ History Month? Is it Christian History Month? Do we have any Christian History Month? Did you know October 11th is coming out day in your schools? Maybe not all of these going on in your schools. Here it is. October 11th is going to be the coming out day. Here's an example of kids being corrupt in this day online. Here's a Glisten post. That's amazing. International Pronoun Day, October 16th. They're having an International Pronoun Day to try to indoctrinate your kids not to use him and her and he and she. If Spirit Day, sponsored by GLAAD, kids and why is the homosexual mafia so involved in our schools? I wonder. Or as David Arthur always said, how come they're not doing this at the nursing homes? They have Transgender Awareness Week, November 12th through the 19th. Do you know what's coming up? Your local school, Transgender Day of Remembrance. Yeah, this is when they honor all those who died. It's probably because they were. January 20th, No Name Calling Week. That'd be a good one. No name calling me. Then Transgender Day of Visibility. That's in March. Wow. How about the Day of Silence, April 24th? That's coming up. See, these are all homo stuff, right? All of it homo. How about the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biophobia, May 17th? Another day. Harvey Milk Day. Yeah, Harvey Milk Day. Say, well, who's Harvey Milk? Well, that's part of the problem. We're having a day to celebrate him. Most people don't even know who he is. Then we have LGBTQ June Pride Month and Homo Sex Parades all across America. Folks, as Linda Harvey says, it's time to overcome evil with good. Okay, question here. How many of you knew that stuff was going on in your local public school? And why are we not organized? Why are we not working together with Linda Harvey? Well, because she's got her own mailing list. She's working with her group. See the problem? I'm blaming me. I'm blaming us. I'm not blaming Linda Harvey. I'm not blaming Mark Harrington. I'm not blaming Rusty Thomas. I'm blaming me. I'm just as bad as everybody else. Everybody doing their own thing. Now, I want to go. Make sure I'm on the right page here. Somebody's welcome to come in while I doodle here a second. Yeah, okay. You do know this, don't you? Our government's becoming a criminal organization. Clearly a criminal organization. And we're going to have to make a decision, my friends. All of us are. It's going to be a painful one. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about the fact that our government is a criminal organization? I don't know. I'll make this assessment. In order to win this battle, it's going to cost some of us a lot. But that's the nature of war, isn't it? See, I think in this war, it's not going to cost you your life necessarily. It's going to cost you your stuff. That's the war that we're fighting now. Even the left is not for necessarily killing people, but they sure are for punishing people and punishing people without a trial. And I can't imagine anything worse than being trapped inside investigation hell of the IRS and the CIA and the FBI. I can't imagine anything worse when we have high-powered attorneys that cannot get their clients out of investigation hell. What's it going to be like for you when they come knocking on your door? That's what we're looking at, in my not-so-humble opinion. That's how this battle is going to be fought. They will do everything they can legally. I just saw this a blip that the left has been quietly strategizing behind the scenes and are bringing in a bevy of attorneys to attack the Trump administration. What do they call that? Lawfare. Isn't that what Doug Hagman told us? Lawfare. Wear you down through lawsuits and an unjust criminal justice system. That's what's on the horizon. We need to pay. We need to count the cost to pay the price. Anybody? I got one other thing I want to show you. Connor, pull up Mr. Holman. Says Mr. Holman. This thing's 10 minutes long. I don't know if we'll watch all 10 minutes of it. But this is the kind of thing that we're going to have to see more and more of, my friends, if we're going to be victorious in this cultural, spiritual war that we find ourselves in. Mr. Holman is the director of ICE. He just, this week, September 27th, was called into a hearing. And I just want you to take a few minutes. I want you to watch how this boy fights back. I want you to watch how he must be near retirement or already retired. I want you to watch how he stands up, speaks truth boldly to people who are criminals. Let's go ahead and play this, Jared.
Forward. Highest reward available to civilian, because I think I did my job pretty good. I think we saved many, many lives in ICE. And a couple of things I agreed with him on, the priority enforcement program. It was the only game in town. We were locked out of jail, so the priority enforcement program get us access to jail, so at least we get the felons. That was better than nothing. And Secretary Jay Johnson, who I respect greatly, gave me a seat at the table, and we talked about all the executive actions. He gave me a seat at the table and says, here's what we're proposing. What are your thoughts on it? He gave me input. Now, I didn't win most of those arguments, and Secretary Jay Johnson was sitting here. We disagreed on a lot of things. But I was grateful that the administration gave me a seat at the table, to at least so I could hear things that were coming. So the Obama administration wasn't all bad. He gave us unlimited money, unlike you're fighting today, on give us the detention facilities we need. Give us the policies we need. Family detention, 100 beds. They give us 3,000 more. So, yeah, President Obama, I agree with a lot of things he did. I didn't agree with everything. I didn't agree with most. But I agree with a lot of what he's done. So, but when I became the ICE director, I came back from retirement because this president, President Trump, had it right across the board. From day one, from his speech in Arizona, he was right on the money every step of the way. Sir, I thank you for your comments because ICE agents and Border Patrol agents are national heroes. They're American patriots. They lead the safety and security of their home every day to defend this nation. So thank you for those comments. We got to remember these Border Patrol agents, they take sicknesses home to their own families every day. These Border Patrol agents brought toys from their own children to the family residential centers so these children had something to play with at the Border Patrol stations. These are mom and dads, too. They didn't hang their heart at the foot of the door when they put that badge on. These are American hate patriots and need to be honored rather than vilified by many members of Congress.
Thank you. The time of the gentleman has expired.
Ma'am, everybody else want to reply. Can I get one more minute? One more minute, please.
I'm sorry, Mr. Holman. The time of the gentleman has expired. Before I go to the next witness, without objection, I'd like to make the following documents part of the record. A statement from the ACLU, a statement from Asian Americans Advancing Justice, a statement from the American Immigration Council, a statement from Al Otro Lado, a statement from the Center for Victims of Torture, a statement from Detention Watch Network, a statement from Friends Committee on National Legislation, a statement from the Government Accountability Project, from the Interfaith Immigration Coalition, from the National Immigration Forum, from the Southeast Asia Resource Action Center, from United We Dream, and a statement from an impacted individual, Abdiqadir Abdullahi Mohammed.
But I do want to ask one quick question, and I want to make one quick statement. I find it very offensive that anybody would compare any federal employee, frankly, to someone who the Gestapo or running Nazi concentration camps. That is very offensive. I have 15 seconds and I yield to you.
Thank you for saying that. I wish somebody in Democratic leadership would say that out loud. Look, you want to know why there's 50,000 people in detention? You want to know why we have 1 million illegal entries in the United States? You want to know why we have these issues? Because you have failed to secure the border. You have failed to work with this president to close the three loopholes we've asked for 2 years to close. So if you want to know why this issue exists, you need to look in the mirror. You have failed American people who are not securing the border and closing the loopholes.
Mr. Holman, look, please respect the chair and the authority of the chair. The time of the gentleman has expired.
I've asked you politely to let me go beyond my time, and you let other people go beyond their time, but not to Tom Holman. He don't get me go beyond his time.
Mr. Holman, we have approved an agreement between the Republicans and the Democrats with the ranking member. We increased the time of one witness, one member of Congress, who was interrupted by a protest. That is done with the approval of the ranking member. Please respect the chair's authority. The gentleman,
I respect the chair's authority, but the chair...
Mr. Holman!
You work for me. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a taxpayer. You work for me.
The witness will suspend.
You can cut that off, Jared, just because I don't want to take any more time with it. That's the type of, at what point do we start going to these people and say, hey, listen, dude, you ain't nothing big about you, all right? All right? You sit up there and hit that gavel. And you, folks, something's happening in America. Just trust me. Something's going on here in America. Got a few minutes left. Somebody help me out here. Come on in. Y'all been quiet today.
I'd like to follow back on something that was said earlier and talking about revival. There are so many of those things calling themselves churches that are scheduling revivals, get in special speakers for revivals, do special dances for revivals, have special singing groups for revivals. But the problem is they never had revival in the first place to re-up. They never had the life in Christ because they were fed a bunch of lies by a bunch of 6-foot popsicles in tight pants behind pulpits that never gave them enough information to become children of God, because part of the gospel, quote, was supposed to be gospel, was missing. And they it's like having a counterfeit ticket to watch the Super Bowl.
So here's the way I see it, Larry. And, you know, scripture talks about that we not to miss the time of his visitation. And we can go into all types of, we can go back and forth on what we think that means and what that looks like. I'm going to tell you this. We are sitting right now at a precipice of a unique time in history that if the world continues, if America continues, if God doesn't come down and second coming happens soon, if we happen to be around here 100 years from now, 200 years from now, 500 years from now, they are going to, in the history books, they're going to take their big finger and they're going to point it right here at this moment, right here. Boom. The next 15 months of your life. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm just telling you, we are at that moment in history. We are looking at that right here, right now. And I want you to know that if you want to remain silent during this most strategic time in American history, then your children and your grandchildren and children yet unborn are going to pay the price for your willingness to sit back and keep your mouth shut. See, the silent majority can't be silent. And the idea that this battle that we're fighting is going to be won by Donald Trump or the Republican Party, that is foolish. But my friends, you better be smart enough to understand that there is right now, dare I say it, Robert, an open door. There is a door right now for the church to arise and step into the gap. This is it. This moment right here, right before us, right now is the time for us to do it. And as I started out the show, I'm going to end the show with the same thing. We better begin coming up with a game plan. We better begin to get assembled. We better get some type of strategy and some type of game plan, and we better realize that those who are sitting in the church, for the most part, are doubly dead and plucked up by the roots. That's what the Bible says. I don't say that. Doubly dead and plucked up by the roots. And some of those people sitting in those pews are my friends. Some of those people sitting in those pews are my family. But I know this, my own family somewhat thinks I'm somewhat a little bit crazy, but I'm going to tell you, when the crap hits the fan, they're going to be glad Grampy was nuts.
That's right, Coach. Yes.
Well, just amen, Coach.
As I'm sitting here.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
And
no discernment, Coach.
No discernment.
No discernment. We're not filled with the Holy Ghost. We have no discernment, and we don't have any sunglasses on. S-O-N. If our S-O-N glasses ain't on, we can't understand nothing.
So, Alan, we have to redouble our efforts, and we have to do that which is uncomfortable. Our eyes are open. We see. We must move, speak, and act. We have to do it right now, right now, right now.
Amen.
In American history.
Amen.
Be encouraged, folks. You're not in this battle alone. The enemy wants us to believe we are. The battle belongs to the Lord. We have to become his soldiers, his foot soldiers. We have to become his men on the beach. Mark this day down. This is when it starts. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.